Track 9. Mary intercedes for Peter and the boy Margiam. She comforts Judas Iscariot's mother and she brings Mary Magdalene to Jesus.
Simon Peter has bonded with an orphan boy, Jabez, later to be known as Margiam, whom Jesus and his apostles had rescued from a very difficult situation. Peter, married to Porphyria, without any children, yearns to have a son, and he asks Jesus if he can adopt the boy. But Jesus refuses, saying, "You are to be the father of all the children I will bequeath to you, but you are not to be bound by any child of your own. Do not be upset. You are too indispensable to your master. I am exacting, Simon. I am more exacting than a very jealous husband. I love you most partially, and I want you to be entirely mine." "All right, my lord, all right. Let it be done as you wish." Poor Peter is really heroic in adhering to Jesus' will. Jesus and the apostles arrive in Bethany, where Jabez witnesses a very tender reunion of Jesus with his mother. He looks, then he bends his head, endeavouring to restrain his tears. But he cannot, and bursts out weeping, moaning, "Mummy, Mummy." Everybody turns around. Jesus and Mary are the first, and they endeavour to help. "Why are you crying?" Jabez is asked. But before Jabez can catch his breath and speak, while shedding so many tears, Mary has run towards him and has taken him in her arms, saying, "Yes, my little child, your mother, do not cry any more, and excuse me if I did not see you before. My friends, here is my little son." It is obvious that Jesus, in the few seconds while approaching the boy, must have told her. The boy is still weeping, but is not so disconsolate. And as Mary is holding him in her arms and kissing him, he ends up by smiling while his face is still wet with tears. And Mary says, "Let me dry those tears of yours. You must not cry any more. Give me a kiss." After being caressed by bearded men, he is overjoyed in kissing Mary's smooth cheek. Some time later, after Jabez has been given a new and more permanent name, Margiam, Jesus is with Mary, speaking of Peter's qualities. He says, "Peter is very good. I would do anything for him, because he deserves it." Then Mary says, "If he heard you, he would say with his good frank smile, 'Ah, my Lord, that is not true.' And he would be right." "Why, Mother?" But Jesus smiles because he has already understood. "Because you are not satisfying him by giving him a son," says Mary. "He told me all his hopes, his desires, and your refusals." "And did he not tell you the reasons justifying them?" "Yes, he did," says Mary, and he added, "It is true, but I am a man, a poor man. Jesus persists in seeing a great man in me, but I know I am a poor fellow, and so He could give me a child. I got married to have them, and I will die without any." And pointing to the boy who had kissed him, saying, "Beloved father," Peter said, "See, when this little creature, whom only 10 days ago I did not know, says that to me, I feel that I become softer than butter and sweeter than honey. And I weep, because every day that goes by takes this child away from me." And Mary says, "A son is like an anchor, Jesus, and Simon, who is destined to such a great task, cannot be hindered by anchors. But you must agree that he is to be the father of all the sons you are leaving him. How can he be a father if he has had no training with a child? A father must be sweet. Simon is good but not sweet. He is impulsive and intolerant. Only a little creature can teach him the fine art of being indulgent to whoever is weak. I would never advise you anything unless it were good. You want to make a perfect disciple of Marjam? But he is only a boy, and you will be going before he is a man. To whom, then, can you give him better than Simon to complete his formation? And his poor wife, she is longing so much to love and be loved. Poor woman, leave her the boy. Listen, son, for the time being we will take him with us. Then, when we go back to Galilee, we will give him to Porphyria. When we are near Bethsaida, Peter will take him. When we come here, the boy will stay with her." "Ah, you are smiling now. So you are going to please your mother? Thank you, my Jesus. Yes, let it be done as you wish." Jesus stands up and calls out loud, "Simon of Jonas, come here." Peter starts and rushes down the steps. "What do you want, master?" "Come here, you usurper and corrupter."
"Me? Why? What have I done, Lord?"
"You have corrupted my mother. What shall I do with you?" But Jesus smiles, and Peter recovers confidence. "Oh," he says, "you really frightened me, but now you are laughing. What do you want from me, master? My life? I have only that because you have taken everything. But if you want, I will give it to you." "I do not want to take anything from you," says Jesus. "I want to give you something. But do not take advantage of your victory, and do not disclose the secret to the others, you most artful fellow, who defeats the master by means of the weapon of his mother's word. You will have the boy," but Jesus can say no more, because Peter, who had knelt down, bounces to his feet and kisses the master with such delight that he makes the words die on his lips. "Thank her, not me," says Jesus. "But remember that this must be of assistance to you and not an impediment." And Peter says, "My Lord, you will not have to repent of this gift." Then he says, "Oh, Mary, may you be always blessed. You are holy and good." And Peter, who has fallen on his knees again, weeps, kissing Mary's hand. Jesus has been speaking in the synagogue at Kerioth, the hometown of Judas Iscariot, where the townspeople hold Judas in high esteem. Afterwards, Mary is listening to Judas's mother, Mary of Simon, who expresses regret that she can't be travelling with Judas. She says, "I cannot. I have no relatives apart from my son, and I must look after the property of the family." "I understand," says Mary. "It is painful to part from one's son. We mothers would always like to be with our children, but we are giving them up for a great cause, and we will not lose them. Not even death can take our sons away from us, if they and we are in grace in the eyes of God. But ours are still on the earth, even if, by the will of God, they are torn from our bosoms to be given to the world for its good. We can always join them, but even the echo of their deeds is like a caress to our hearts, because their deeds are the scent of their souls. What is your son to you, woman?" asks Mary of Simon in a low voice. And the Most Holy Mary replies promptly, "He is my joy." "Your joy?" And then Judas's mother bursts into tears and lowers her head to hide them. "I have no authority over Judas. Last year, when the Master came here, I realized that he had understood, and I was about to speak. But it is painful, very painful, for a mother to have to say, 'Be careful of my son. He is greedy, hard-hearted, vicious, proud, and inconstant.' And that is what he is. I am praying that your son, who works so many miracles, may work one for my Judas. Now, for the time being, he appears to be good. Oh, if it were only true. Help me with your prayers, you who are holy, so that my son may not be unworthy of the grace that God granted him. Better dead than a bad apostle. Can I pray for that? What do you say?" And Mary says, "Pray the Lord that he may do what is best. Do not weep any more. I have seen prostitutes and Gentiles at the feet of my son, and publicans and sinners with them. They all became lambs through his grace." Hope, Mary, hope. The grief of mothers saves their sons. Do you know that? And everything ends on that painful question. Mary Magdalene, a well-known sinner, has undergone a major transformation after hearing Jesus tell a crowd at Capernaum the parable of the lost sheep. At first delighted at this conversion, a distraught Martha, the Magdalene sister, tells Jesus that the Magdalene has disappeared and she fears she has gone back to her old ways and habits. But Jesus reassures Martha and says, "Not far from you, but in a place unknown to you, Mary Magdalene feels that her last doubt on the infinity of forgiveness received is being dissipated, and her weeping changes into smiles and her shadow into light. Your sister is with my mother at Nazareth." "But how did she go there if she does not know your mother or your house? By herself, at night, without means? Wearing that dress? Such a long way? How?" "How?" replies Jesus. "As a tired swallow flies back to its native nest, crossing seas and mountains, through storms, fog, and hostile winds. Instinct guides them, warmth invites them, the sun calls them. She also went to the Ray, inviting her, to the Universal Mother. And we will see her come back happily at dawn, coming out forever from darkness, with a mother beside her, mine, never to be an orphan again. Can you believe that? Yes, my Lord. Jesus, his apostles, and the women disciples are at Capernaum when a severe storm begins to intensify. Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, come with me. Call Martha's servant and my brother James. Get a large piece of canvas, a strong large piece. There are two women on the road, and we must go and meet them." Peter looks at him curiously, but he obeys without wasting any time. On the way, while they are running southwards through the village, Simon asks, "But who are they?" And Jesus says, "My mother and Mary of Magdala." The shock is such that Peter stops for a moment, as if he were nailed to the ground, and he exclaims, "Your mother and Mary of Magdala together?" He then resumes running, as neither James nor Jesus nor the servant have stopped. But he repeats, "Your mother and Mary of Magdala together? Since when?" "Since she is Mary of Jesus. Be quick, Simon, it is beginning to rain." They have left Capernaum about 100 yards behind, proceeding through clouds of dust and very heavy rain, a real downpour, when they see two women running and seeking shelter under a large tree. "There they are, let's run." Peter arrives when Jesus and James have already covered the two women with the large piece of sail. The first word that Jesus addresses to Mary Magdalene, with the mantle of the Blessed Virgin on her shoulders, is, "Are you afraid, Mary?" Mary Magdalene blushes and whispers, "No, my Lord." "Your sister will be happy to see you," says Jesus. "She is at Capernaum. She was looking for you." The Magdalene looks up for a moment and stares at Jesus with her beautiful eyes, while Jesus speaks to her with the simplicity he uses with the other women disciples. But she does not say anything. She is stifled by too many emotions. "Don't be afraid," says Peter, encouraging her. "It is over now. You must never be afraid when you are with Jesus." And the Magdalene replies, "I am not crying for fear. I am weeping because he said to me that he will bless me." But she can say no more. The apostles are dumbfounded when the group arrives. Martha gives a scream of delight when she sees her sister, and the Magdalene lowers her head. Our Lady comes to the rescue, taking her by the hand and saying, "She came to me as a pilgrim goes to a place where she can be told which road to take to reach her destination. And she said to me, 'Teach me what I must do to belong to Jesus.' She was ready to be taken by the hand and led to you, my son, and to you, good Martha, and to you, brother disciples. And I say to you, here is your disciple and your sister, who will give but supernatural joys to her Lord and to her brothers. I ask you to believe me and to love her as Jesus and I love her." Some time later, Mary is encouraging the Magdalene to pray, and the Magdalene asks, But is it lawful to speak to God when one's lips are still dirty with so many profane words? In my hours of meditation, which I do as you, my most sweet apostle, taught me, I do violence to my heart, which would like to say to God, I love you. But I feel I would be making a sacrilegious offer by offering my heart. Do not do that, my dear daughter. First of all, your heart has been reconsecrated by the Son's forgiveness, and the Father sees only that forgiveness. Give yourself up to love. Do not do violence to it. Nay, let it become as violent as a blaze. A fire consumes everything that is material, but it does not destroy one molecule of air, because air is incorporeal. On the contrary, it purifies it from the tiny debris blown by winds and makes it lighter. Love does the same to souls. It may consume man's matter more quickly if God allows it, but it will not destroy his spirit. It will instead increase its vitality and will make it pure and agile to be able to ascend to God. Later still, the mother reminds Mary Magdalene, "You wept on my breast your first happy tears. I am therefore your mother, because a baby weeps its first tears on its mother's breast. I am your mother and will be always. What may be burdensome for you to tell the most kind sister, the most loving nurse, come and tell me. I will always understand you. What you would not dare to say to my Jesus, because it is still stained with humanity, which he does not want in you, come and tell me. I will always be indulgent to you. And if you should like to inform me of your triumphs, but I would prefer you told him, like sweet-smelling flowers, because he is your Saviour, not I will rejoice with you."